Blog Talk Radio.
This is the ACAC Radio Network, and welcome to Ministry Beat, a show designed to highlight the latest happenings at Allegheny Center Alliance Church, a vibrant urban congregation located in the heart of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. This program will focus on the latest emphasis at ACAC known as Expanded Influence, especially the three C's of communication, campus expansion, and church planting. And now, here is your host, John Stanko.
Well, hello out there in internet radio land. This is John Stanko, your host, and we are already off to a better start than we were last week at this time. No power lines were across the road, so I wasn't delayed getting to my phone. The proper introduction played for the show, and at least one of my guests is already on the line. I mean, it just doesn't get any better than this. I trust you have had a good week. I certainly have, as yesterday I was down at the church and heard, along with many of the other folks who were there, from an organization called Costco and Associates, who will be consulting with ACAC around the issues of campus expansion. And so that was good to meet them. I did a video, very short video clip, with the president and CEO, Tim Songster, who's down from my old neck of the woods, down in the Gulf Coast. They're from Pensacola. I lived about an hour away in Mobile, Alabama for a number of years, so we got to talk about some common sites and grounds that we were familiar with. Then I interviewed Pastor Blaine for this Saturday night. We're not going to have a long interview because it is a communion weekend. In fact, almost every weekend in February is something special, so we are going to keep that in mind as we do our recordings. And then, since Pastor Blaine was in the flow, I just asked if we could do a longer interview where we got his perspective on campus expansion. And I trust if you have not been watching the videos or listening to the shows, that you will check out Facebook. The links are all there. This weekend, we should have a new website up. We have all had a chance to proof it. It looks really good. And it will be the depository for all of the links and all of the information that we will be creating this year around the initiative called Expanded Influence, as we move towards both a campus or a church-wide vote on the going forward with the campus expansion project, and then be looking at the funding. But right now we're just in the information stage, and so we have been talking to people involved in Expanded Influence, from staff who have a unique perspective that we want to give them an opportunity to share with you around the issue of expanded influence. So I was thinking we were going to have two guests. I see one call here. I'm not sure who it is, so I'm going to go ahead and bring them live. Hi, who is this? Welcome to Expanded Influence Ministry Beat.
Hey, it's Marv Nelson.
Hi, Pastor Marv. How are you?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Good, good. Thank you for recording yesterday's session with Costco. I did get that and receive that. Just wanted to have that in the can in case we need it. And so we're going to talk a little bit about the young adult ministry at ACAC and how this factors into expanded influence. So in the meantime, tell us what your current role is and out at the University of Pittsburgh, and let's talk a little bit about how that's going. I'm looking forward to an update myself.
Yeah, so currently at ACAC, I'm the college and campus plant pastor, and moving into the new hat that I have as well is the, you know, head of the young adult task force / young adult ministry that we're calling The Gathering. And so at Pitt, We have been there for 4 years. January marked our fourth year of services every Sunday during the school year. So we've been progressively growing, and we've been expanding our influence on campus by branching off and doing ministries. Last year, we launched a ministry to international students. It's a ESL conversation group where we have a number of our students, but also some ACAC members who interact with our international students on Pitt's campus once a week on Wednesday nights. And so we've seen that go from approximately four people to well over 20 people at some time. Sometimes that happens as well during that Wednesday night event. One of the cool things about that has been that those folks that have been involved in the conversation group, we invite them to our church events, and a huge portion of them come every time we have an event. The only time that we had an exception to that was this past weekend on Saturday. We had an event, but it was Chinese New Year, so they didn't come to that. There were some Chinese New Year's parties that they went to, and so they skipped out on our game night. But other than that, they've been at every event that we've had, and so it's been cool to see that. It's been really incredible to see some young students growing in their faith, going deeper, living differently. Some new freshmen that came in this year, super dedicated to the church, invested deeply, and it's been a really remarkable thing to see year after year.
Mm-hmm. 4 years already, wow. And so you are seeing growth, both numerical and depth in the students.
Yeah, this is our first year where we've seen our attendance kind of plateau. We've been sticking around somewhere between 50 and 55 students. Sometimes we'll get up to 65 students on a Sunday. But that's kind of where we've been plateauing off. But so this year is our first year of not significant numerical growth, but the growth of maturity and depth of our students has been very significant. So, yeah.
Yeah. Pastor Marv, let's go back. Why did we plant a church? Why did we start a church at the University of Pittsburgh? Why not just have a special outreach on ACAC campus that was particularly and specifically geared towards college students? What was the thinking of going out there as opposed to having them come in here?
Yeah, I think there are several reasons. The first is that we saw a picture of it in a sister church at State College. And they developed a ministry called ACF, Alliance Christian Fellowship, that functions as a church on campus. And they, in their research and study, they realized that students weren't going to come to them. They needed to go to the students. And so it's a new, and back then it was 25, 30 years ago almost now when they launched ACF. But it was a new thought then to, you know, go to where students are, to make it more convenient, if you will, for students to join a church, knowing that they wouldn't make the trek to State College Alliance Church. They decided to plant there. And very much along that vein, we felt compelled that the university students, those are our next leaders in the church. And if we can invest in them, go to where they are, to give them the convenience of being able to kind of roll out of bed and go to a church service without driving anywhere or catching a bus, hours beforehand, that it would give them the opportunity to lessen their excuses of getting involved in church, but also to be an on-site presence of discipleship. So Joseph Weimer and myself were on staff. Joseph is CCO and ACAC with Aletheia. So he works with another college ministry, but it all blends together into this passionate pursuit of college students. And so we're on campus regularly meeting one-on-one with students and being their pastors, which, if they were to come here to leave Oakland to come here, the trek here, they wouldn't have a specific pastor necessarily right for them. And it's easy for me to connect with them at Starbucks or, they know that I'm writing my sermon on campus, then they can just come and lovingly interrupt that to share kind of what they're feeling and if there's anything that they need to discuss. And So, I mean, that was definitely the reasoning behind that, was to go where they are, to minister to them there, to kind of take away some of those excuses to not be part of a church, but also to be on site, to grow them, challenge them, and disciple them in being present.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know you're a student of the church. You keep up on current trends and events. Part of your title is church plant, and that's also a phrase that we're hearing in expanded influence. A couple of weeks ago, I had David Leon, who has a title of leadership developer for church planting. But again, talk to in a broader sense. Why as we're building looking to increase our campus footprint at ACAC, are we also talking about planting churches? Where does that fit in the Great Commission and church growth and any of the other emphases that we hear in church circles these days?
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the biblical mandate to go and make disciples, he gives these different areas in Jerusalem, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And so that means that we have to go and expand the influence of the gospel, to use that coined phrase from ACAC, and we have to go where people are. Different communities have different needs. The north side is not the North Hills. The north side is not the East End. The north side is not Homestead. The north side is not the Hill District. And because each community has its own not signature, but its own feel, its own systematized way of living. They can have similar, similar aspects to them, but they're different places. And so when you can go into a place and bring an expression of the church that ministers to that specific community best, it's a powerful testimony to the gospel. Paul did this. He constantly went to different cities and planted different churches. And his purpose was to set up leadership to be in those areas of influence to then reach out to the community. And he encouraged them to continue to go out and plant churches and to do more of that movement of, establishing a place of worship where people can come for community, people can come for fellowship, but they can also come to be challenged to go out into their own communities and be ministers of the gospel as well. And so you see this as a biblical mandate, and you see it as a biblical reality with Paul, and so it's one of those things that we as a church, we feel convinced and convicted that in order to expand our influence, we can't continue to expect people from different communities to come to us, but our passion is to go to them as well, to expand the influence of what ACAC has experienced in being able to develop a diverse, unified congregation that's not normative. And, some people may have hindrances to going to ACAC on the north side, just like we went to Oakland purposely to plant a church there to minister to the folks there. It's a different culture. If you were to walk into Oakland and then immediately walk into the north side, you would see the culture is different. What's important is completely different. And so that they need to contextualize church to that specific area. And I think the same is true for the reasoning of planting in different areas of the city.
Mm-hmm. Now, you're a NIAC grad, which is a school of the Christian Missionary Alliance, the denomination that we are a part of. I mean, church planting goes way back to the roots of our movement, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. I mean, even in the 1990s, they wanted, I think it was 20 by 2,000, or 200 by 2,000, 200 new churches in the next 10 years was their pursuit. There's a passionate desire to create more churches, not for the sake of being arrogant in how many churches we have or to pat ourselves on the back, but because churches are areas of influence for the gospel, and churches are where people can congregate to not just be blessed, but then to go out. I think, you know, the pain is when churches are just stagnant and they stay where they are and they minister to each other, but they don't minister to the community with which they're in. And the DNA of what A.B. Simpson and many of the founding fathers of the CMA, their passion was not to just be a church that ministers to itself, but ministers outward. And church planting is an expression of that, is that sending out, saying, now go out and do the same thing we've done here. And that's been a passionate desire of the CMA.
Mm-hmm. And really, it's a day today. I think when I was interviewing Keith Turnbull, he referenced the fact that on the bottoms of the north side, at one time there were 68 churches, but there aren't nearly 68 anymore. And if some of them are still around, the buildings are in fairly bad disrepair, and some of the congregations are very small. So in a sense, if we're praying for revival in the United States, we need more churches, don't we?
Yeah. Yeah, we do. And we need churches that have an outward focus, not an inward focus, mm-hmm. as I mentioned before. You know, mm-hmm. I think that we have a lot of, in the church, we have a lot of talk and very little action. And so mm-hmm. if we're going to plant churches, they need to be churches of action and not just rhetoric. Mm-hmm. Because I think that many of those churches that have passed became places of just rhetoric. And that's not to put them down. But they lost their voice, their prophetic voice in the community, because they were no longer working to heal or help or bring hope to the community. And so I believe that, yes, we do need new churches, but we need new churches that are going to be activated to do ministry outside of themselves and not just an inward activation.
Yeah. And of course, the Christian and Missionary Alliance, the emphasis on missions was very much church planting in other nations, mm-hmm. and also not to create dependent churches where those who were sent had lifetime employment there, but it was really to plant churches and turn them over to the local leadership as quickly as possible. So this is just the DNA throughout our parent organization, the Christian Missionary Alliance.
Right. Yeah, it is to grow from within of that culture. I mean, in fact, we did it so well in Peru that we no longer have missionaries from the CMA in Peru, because mm-hmm. God used our movement to raise up indigenous leaders who then took it on their own and said, okay, we got this. You guys can go to other countries that don't have the capability of developing indigenous leaders the way we do. And so, you know, God used that mission field in a mighty way to create churches that create churches in Peru.
Yeah. You're an author, aren't you?
Yes, sir. I am indeed.
Tell us about your books.
The first book that I wrote is called Pinocchio Versus the Real Boy. It talks about the importance of authenticity in specifically youth ministry, where youth pastors and pastors alike are to live in such a way that is authentic, to challenge students to live authentic, so that when there's real issues going on, it's not hidden, it's not swept under the carpet, but really dealt with, and to live an open life where your life is open, where you're not keeping secrets, and you're allowing the Spirit of God to give you, public restoration is always important for people to see that we as pastors aren't perfect. We don't always have it all together, but that God's grace is sufficient. And I think that especially to the young adults and young folks in our society, our culture, that speaks volumes, because much of them have interacted with hypocrisy in the church, and it's been a very big aspect of the turnoff, if you will, that many people have experienced, because people have a lot of talk about living the faith, but really, if you looked at the nitty-gritty of their life, they don't really believe what they profess. And so, you know, many folks were needing something different in the reality of understanding that the gospel is life-changing. It's not just something that we talk about. And then the second book is called What Good Is Jesus? And if I can be biased, it's the favorite book that I've written.
You're allowed.
I think
you're
it's,
allowed.
What's that?
You're allowed.
Okay.
You're allowed to be biased.
Yeah. It's the best book I've written, I believe, and it takes on many of the questions that folks in the young adult world, or millennial, if you want to call them, 20 to 30 somethings, if you want to, whatever label you want to put on them. There's a lot of questions that they ask. Some of them are deep. Some of them may seem insignificant to some in the church, but you know, dealing with things like sex and marriage and love and politics and racism and homosexuality, suffering, forgiveness, you know, these are questions that consistently bombard what I do as a as a college pastor and working with 20 to 30 somethings. And so as I was wrestling with this alongside other students, I said, man, this needs to be a book where it's like someone sitting down at coffee with these students and answering their tough questions. So that's what I sought out to do, and I believe I did a decent job at it, and I hope that people will pick up the book and be encouraged, those who are non-believers, those who are sojourners, and even folks that are in a different generation. They'll be able to see the questions that are being asked and interact with some of my answers in order to maybe better speak to this generation when it comes to answering questions.
Mm-hmm. Now, in passing yesterday, you said you were doing an e-book. Are you ready to talk a little bit about that, or you don't want us to steal that thunder?
No, that's totally fine. It should be out next week. It's called Mentoring Millennials, and I co-authored it with a guy named Chris Folmsby. He has started a company called Think Burlap, and it was actually just purchased by a publishing company. I can't remember offhand what publishing company bought it. So the book was actually supposed to be released a couple months ago, but was held off because of this new allocation of the publishing company of his Think Burlap company. He wrote the majority of the content, 75% of it, and he read my book and was encouraged by what I was doing with young adults, and asked me to add and subtract some stuff that he wrote, but then to give illustration to the points, because he doesn't interact with millennials the way I do. And so he wanted me to be able to put stories to the context to the context of the encouragement of how to mentor millennials. So it's a view of how it actually works.
Mm-hmm.
That should be out on ebook only by next week.
Nice. And so you enjoy, obviously you enjoy writing.
I do. Yeah, I feel probably very similar to you, John. It's a compulsion, something that you feel like God has given you a message and you want to share it, and share it as often as you can. And so I do that. Whether people buy my books or not, I'm still going to write. I know that you've said that before, just because it's such a part of who we are. You and I are communicators. We love to talk and read and write.
Mm-hmm.
So when we have opportunities to do so, we take advantage of those.
Yeah. All right, let's transition now. We've talked a little bit about you and about Aletheia, which is the church plant out at Pitt. Talk to us now about this new initiative that you alluded to earlier in the show that's called The Gathering.
Yeah, The Gathering spurred on from a passionate desire of my own and Pastor Rock's to minister to the 20 to 30-somethings at ACAC. Way back when I started 4 years ago, four and a half years ago, the plant of Aletheia, I was in charge of the young adult ministry that was here, and we began to see kind of dwindling numbers, even though people were saying that they wanted to be a part of it. And so we kind of set it to the side for a while because I was focusing on the church plant and didn't have time to really interact with the young adult stuff here at ACAC. But I would say probably in somewhere around last March, April, Pastor Rock approached me and said, hey, I really think we have a problem ministering to the 20 to 30-somethings in our church. And, you know, he said he was approached by a couple of young adult students who had stopped attending ACAC because they needed a young adult community. And so he asked me, he said, what can we do? So I sat down with him and the other administrative pastors and said, let's do something a little bit ridiculous. Let's have a night called Millennial Night where we have all of the young adults in our church come to this evening and ask you questions. Pastor Rock, Pastor Blaine, Pastor Sheldon, and Pastor Ross. And then we'll ask them questions because the goal is to see what do they need. What is it that their heart's desire is for ACAC? And it came down to when we were having that time, we had about 96 young adults show up and kind of ask Pastor Rock questions, and then we asked them questions, and I moderated the time. But really to see, okay, what is it that you as young adults in our church need? And there were a couple of things that were very overwhelming. The first one came out that said, you know what, the teaching on Sundays and the growth groups are really good. We don't feel like we need a time of teaching where someone else comes and brings us something else. But what we really need is community. We need to be able to know who are the young adults that are in the church that don't go to the service that I go to, and not only who they are, but how I can connect with them, creating a space where we can have community together. So, excuse me. And then the other thing was, a resounding importance was mentoring. We desperately want mentored from the older generation. And so we kind of took that information, Pastor Ross and Pastor Rock and Pastor Blaine and Pastor Sheldon and I, we kind of put our heads together, said, how can we answer these two questions? And Pastor Ross said, I'll take the mentoring piece. I'll work on that. And he challenged me to develop a task force of sorts. So I contacted Joe Oliver and Krista Mueller and said, will you help me head up this task force and choose people that you know that could bring a lot of insight to it? And, you know, I was very specific on how we needed to develop this task force. Because we have a diverse congregation, we need to have a diverse team. So we made sure to have white and black, single folks, as well as married with children on this panel, as well as women and men. We tried to balance it as well as we could with the diversity of people, the diversity of life phase, as well as diversity of gender. So we have about 11, 12 folks on the team, not including Krista and I. And Joseph, because he's so busy with high school, hasn't really been able to be an integral part of the task force itself. But we gathered the task force in August. So Millennial Night was at the end of May, beginning of June, and actually it was July. We put the task force together, had our first meeting in July. I was able to explain, along with Krista, kind of what we hope to develop from the task force, why we are bringing you together, and let's begin to develop the gathering together. So then in our meeting in August, we developed a plan. We put down kind of the space that we would like to use, kind of the events that we would like to do. And so we brought that to Rock. I brought that to Rock and Pastor Ross and Pastor Blaine and said, okay, here's what we're planning. Here's our hopes. Here's our dreams. And Pastor Rock basically said, go dream, go live it out, go put it together. And so we began to meet, and we put together a schedule of events, mostly developing community, focusing on community. And a couple of them are serious in nature, where there's like a panel on race and reconciliation that we plan to do. We plan to do a conversation on expanded influence to see our role in that. And so it's been really significant hearing their passions and desires and developing, the ministry in that way. Our first event was Pizza with the Pastors, which was our time of the task force inviting people to come and to hear what we have for them, as well as to hear the heart of Pastor Rock and Pastor Ross on their passion for opening up the door for 20 to 30-somethings ministry. It was a great night. We had about 70 to 75 young adults show up, and then we began to do our twice-a-month Saturday night events. We've had two so far, and the first event we had roughly 55 people. Second event we had 60 people, and we actually have our third event this Saturday Saturday night from 7 to 9 with young adults. So there's a huge excitement that has been developing. There's a lot of really good community happening, a lot of really encouraging conversations and growth, and there's actually been a women's Bible study that's now developed out of it on Thursday nights with young adult women. So God's really taking this thing and launching it and doing some amazing things with it.
Where are you meeting?
What's that?
Where are you meeting?
Oh, I'm sorry. Currently, we're meeting on the third floor of Union Place, and this Saturday, we're actually going to be utilizing Union Place Gym as well. We're calling it 80s Night, so we're going to play some dodgeball. We're going to play some cheesy 80s music. We're going to have 80s-themed like board games like Crossfire. We're going to have Ecto Coolers to drink, if anybody remembers Ecto Coolers. And then we're probably going to have an 80s movie playing in one of the other rooms. So people who don't like to play dodgeball, they don't have to play dodgeball. But we're encouraging people to dress up like they would from the 80s. You know, side ponytails, lots of headbands, all just silly, fun stuff. And that'll be happening this Saturday, 7 to 9, Union Place on the third floor and the Union Place Gym.
Now, have I heard properly that in the expanded campus that the young adults would be looking to utilize some special places that would be designated for their meetings, or did I mishear this?
No, you're correct. We're actually going to be utilizing the pool area that is no longer a pool and hasn't been for a long time, and it's no longer storage either. It's a place that church leadership said, hey, for the next couple of years, as we're expanding influence or expanding the campus, you can utilize this space, and you can make it your own. You can develop it. We just haven't been able to get in there yet because there's a couple things that need to happen. And in fact, our young adults are so passionate about getting this space that we had a Saturday work event, and 25 young adults showed up to help clear the space out, to help clean the space, to help get it ready for use by us. And the second Saturday in February, so not this Saturday, but 2 weeks after this Saturday, is our first time of hopefully being able to utilize that space.
Mm-hmm. Now, Pastor Marv, you're spending a lot of your time out at Pitt, obviously, but when you look into ACAC, what are your thoughts on the three C's, the communications, the expanded campus? We've already talked a little bit of church planning. Are you on board with this? Do you see the need for it? Share what you see from your perspective.
Yeah, I mean, for communications, you and I have had the conversation about our website. I think 4 years ago, you and I began talking about the need to upgrade and update that. It's not easily gone through. People can't find what they need to find in an easy manner, the way that newer websites are, kind of intuitive in that sense. So I think that's definitely a high need. Our bulletin needed to be changed, and so bringing on Nate Boersma into the communications and kind of taking a view that was part of but not a part of, as he was going to the church, but he wasn't on staff. And so he's able to say, ooh, man, we really need to work on this. We really need to be able to say this better. We really need to shrink down how we do this. And we need to get back to image-based rather than text-based. So he was able to really interact with that a lot and change a lot of that stuff and then keep it maintained, you know, how we do our videos, developing HD rather than just standard definition. And these are things that we hoped would happen as we moved along. And so I think that is a necessary movement and will continue to need to grow. And so Nate's presence here has been, fantastic in that and was something that we definitely needed. Also, when it comes to campus expansion, we really have no choice because the children's ministry has to move out of their space, and there is no space to accommodate them on our current campus. And so, you know, being able to see God is saying we need this, and he's going to provide for it. Here's where we need to go. Here's the expansion that we hope to do. And, as many people say, it's where God guides, he provides. And he's clearly guiding us to expand our campus because we have hit our limits, and when we try to bring in children's ministry, we'll be unable to do so. So we need to do something in that realm. You know, and with church planting, I fully am on board, obviously, with church planting being kind of the first test model, I guess, if you will, going into Oakland and seeing what that looks like and having learnings as to what that is. So I'm fully on board with those three C's. You know, it's going to be interesting to see how God shapes those and develops those and puts those into practice here at ACAC. But, you know, I'm excited that we are moving forward with those things and believe that God is in it.
Great. I think Krista's on the line. Can you hang around for a little bit longer, or do you need to go?
I'm good.
Good. I'm going to put you on mute so you can cough or do whatever you need to do. We won't hear you, and I'm going to bring Chris on. So thank you, Pastor Marv. Let me put you on mute, and let me go to the other call here. Is this you, Krista?
It is.
Well, welcome to back to Ministry Beat, and as we talk about expanded influence, and this is what I wrote in the introduction. Marv Nelson and Krista Mueller are two of the bright young leaders at ACAC, and I meant that. You are a real blessing, and we so appreciate your involvement in what you've done, are doing at the church. Tell our listeners a little bit about what your role is over in children's ministry.
Yeah, so, well, thanks again just for having me. It's always great to talk with you, and I'm just excited to be a part of what the Lord's doing in terms of expanded influence. But, yeah, so I'm the outreach director for children's ministry. So that means that, you know, the things that we do within the community to reach out to kids that might not know Jesus as a part of ACAC is what I'm in charge of. So I oversee our after-school program, our summer day camp, and an outreach program to two local housing sites, Northview Heights and Allegheny Commons, and that program's called Church in the Park. So just oversee those things and just train up leaders to become disciple makers and then work with a ton of kids and teach them about Jesus.
Yeah. Now, when I was on staff, about around this time of year, you were recruiting for the summer camp program. Are you doing that now? You still have that responsibility?
Yep, we are again. We are going next week, actually, to Grove City College, and then at the end of the month, we're going to Nyack College and looking for some other local colleges and universities in between all of those to see just kind of where we can find people who are on fire for the Lord and ready to teach some kids.
Mm-hmm. You've been on staff for how long now?
Just over 8 years, actually. I started in January 2009.
Mm-hmm. And your background, where'd you go? Yeah, time goes fast and you're having fun. What's your background? Where'd you go to school? What did you study? And how did you get involved in ministry at ACAC?
Yeah, so I went to Toccoa Falls College. It's a tiny alliance college in northeast Georgia. And I found out about the school from my pastor at the time and it's my best friend's dad. So they had some influence. They had graduated. He and his wife has graduated from there. And so went down, and I wasn't really sure kind of what I was supposed to do with my life. I knew that I loved kids. I'd been babysitting since I was little, and knew that I wanted to serve the Lord, but just didn't really understand in what capacity that was. So I started actually as a music performance major and then switched to music education, and then I switched to early childhood education, and then I finally landed in family and children's ministry just really fell in love with the idea of just teaching kids about Jesus full time as a career and also just a full-time ministry, and as a part of that program, I needed to complete an internship. So the summer of 2008, before I was set to graduate, I had an internship scheduled, and I had reached out to Karen Dilliman here at ACAC. She was the director of children's at the time, and had just sent her an email and said, you know, this is who I am. Is there an opening? Do you guys take interns? Is there an opportunity for me there? And she responded back, yes, and so I came on as their one of their first interns. in children's ministry, and I taught in the after-school program, and I taught as a summer day camp teacher, and just really fell in love with the community and the kids and the church and just what God was doing here and wanted to be a part of it. So I went back to school for my final semester, but there, at that point there weren't positions open in CM that I felt like would be a fit for me, and just really wrestled with the Lord over that, and just kind of mad actually that he would let me fall in love with a place that I didn't see how I was going to get back to. And I graduated December 13th from Toccoa, and a couple days before graduation I had received an email from Karen that actually this outreach position had opened up and they wanted my resume. So I graduated December 13th. I came in for an interview right before Christmas, and I started January 5th. So
wow.
Jumped in with both feet and kind of jumped into the deep end in some areas, but but the Lord's been just really faithful to provide everything that I've needed and tons of growth and tons of opportunities along the way.
Yeah. For you as a member of ACAC and as a member of staff in children's ministry, what's expanded influence mean to you when you hear all of this talk? What do you think about? What are your impressions?
Yeah. So the Lord's just been, I've seen him over the years do some really cool things here at ACAC. And I think one of the things that he's called us to is to just share that with others and to share what he's doing. And so I think part of expanded influence is really just expanding our capacity to be able to share and to share what he's doing and what he's taught us with other churches and with other organizations that are trying to do the same thing and just partner in ministry. I also think part of it is a call for continual growth on our end to expand the capacity that we have for the Lord to do his work. And so, you know, if that means some leadership development classes or just some new ministry opportunities or just personal development with our relationship with the Lord, any of those things, I think that he's really just calling us into a season to engage in those things in a new way. So for everybody, congregation to staff, I think it means something different. We've spent some time in learning, looking at the expanded influence of the Holy Spirit in and through us. So I'm just looking forward to kind of what that means and what's next for us in that. So,
yeah, obviously, as we talk through many people, and I interviewed Gwen last week, children's ministry is figuring very prominently in the need for a campus realignment. And so when you think about the possibilities of leaving the third floor across the street where we are now and coming and being part of the campus, the main campus, what ministry possibilities do you see for children's ministry? What difference will that make in the work that God has called you and others to do with the children?
Yeah, I think that one of the biggest things right now is just that we're so separated and the family is disjointed. There's no space for the families to really come and just to commune with each other and commune as a group. And so I'm excited just to have the opportunity to be back all in the same space again. I think that it's going to expand our capacity in terms of relationships with each other and for our kids to learn what it means to be a man and a woman of God. As they grow, they'll have more opportunities to see examples of that. And for parents just to be able to actually spend time with one another and not feel like they have to rush into this building and rush into the next one to pick up another kid and then hurry up because, they're losing a parking space or, I hope that tension is just relieved and we can just spend more time being together because our society is so fast-paced we don't spend a lot of time just being together. And I think that that's a huge need and that will really honor the Lord. And, yeah, so I think it'll be really cool to be able to do that.
Yeah. Now, you're a Christian and Missionary Alliance College graduate, Tacoma Falls, mm-hmm. and you've been on staff. Now, when I say church planting, I mean, is this, what are your thoughts? Is this consistent with what you understand the church to be? Are you on board with this? What are your thoughts in that area?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think it's consistent in what the church is supposed to be and to do. You know, I know there's many different types of church planting. You know, you can come alongside churches that are hurting and struggling, and again, just with the influence of the Holy Spirit and just the wisdom and the experiences that we've had at ACAC just to be able to, again, just help other churches come along and just do what they're doing differently and better. I think that, mm-hmm. yeah, that is really honoring to the Lord. I also think that, planting churches is, I think that in and of itself is honoring to the Lord. And it definitely challenges us and grows us as well. And, so as far as, you know, in line with what the Christian Missionary Alliance believes, I think that's spot on as a part of the mission statement of the denomination, and in terms of making disciples even, and there's a lot of areas in our city where there are no churches and there is no the gospel hasn't been preached yet, and I think that part of being faithful to the call that the Lord has given each of us as believers, just to be faithful to that.
Yeah, and I'm sure that there's going to have implications for children's ministry, because we're going to have to replicate ourselves, and so there's going to be more work there. But speaking of more work, as if you don't already have enough to do, I understand now that you are part of a task force or doing something else, and Pastor Marv's talked to us a little bit. Talk to us about your involvement and how this all came about.
Yeah, so we've noticed, as a young adult, I've noticed over the years that I've been here that there hasn't been a specific young adult ministry. There was when I started, and it kind of went and ebbed and flowed, and Pastor Marv had tried to start some things, but for a number of different reasons, it just wasn't taken off, and people weren't connecting, and so it was probably about a year ago, Pastor Rock had put together a task force group of people to really start investigating why the young adults were not really kind of represented at our church, and kind of what we needed to do to address that. And so that kind of started the young adult task force. So we've been talking with different young adults just in our congregation and learning kind of what the desire is and what's missing. And what we've come up with so far is just that there is a desire for community, and that they just don't know how to get it. We started with an event called Pizza with the Pastors, and we went down to Arnold's Tea, and we had almost 80 people show up who were young adults within our church body, and who were just interested in having an opportunity to talk with the pastors and kind of hear what the plan was for ministry for young adults. And so some of the things that came out of that and a different meeting that we had were, a desire, again, just for the community space and opportunities for that. We were hearing that the young adults across the board were content with and even excited with the things that Rock was doing in terms of preaching and ministering in the Word, and the growth groups and things and the worship that we have at ACAC were not the issue, that those things are certainly adequate for those needs, but what was missing was just a chance to get together with other young adults and other young families and other young married couples. So we gathered a task force of, it's gone back and forth a little bit, but 12 to 15 people of just other young men and women from ACAC and Urban Impact, and trying to figure out how we can begin to minister to young adults within our church. And so, So far we've had a we started with a big game night, and we had I think 40 people come to the game night, and that's literally all we did. We hung up on third floor of Union Place Building, and we just played games for 2.5 hours, and it was just an awesome time of community. And I even met a lot of new people that I hadn't known before. And then we also had a big family dinner, again, just sharing a meal together and the importance of communing together. And that was also really exciting. We had about 60 people that came for that. And so it's just exciting to see what the Lord is doing and just how he's preparing young adults to better engage within our church body. And we have an event coming up this Saturday. It's 80s night, and so we're going to play dodgeball and play some board games and watch a movie and again, just spend some community time or quality time with each other as a community. So, so we're really looking forward to what the Lord's doing and getting some momentum and,
Yeah. Let me bring Pastor Marv back on here. Pastor Marv, what's Krista like to work with? What do you think? Can we build on her? Is there any potential here?
Yeah, she's very passionate, compassionate. She has tons of energy, and she enjoys to invest her energy in things that she believes are necessary. So, you know, when Rock asked for me to develop a task force and kind of figure out who should be on that team, you know, I immediately said, well, I would really love Joe, Oliver, and Krista to come alongside me in that. And, you know, Rock had no reservations at all. He said, that's a great idea. She's, you know, one of our staff members. She's a young adult, which makes sense. And, you know, I think that Krista brings a better view of young adult stuff in the church, like as it comes to what people were thinking and doing, because I've been in Oakland every Sunday and then working with just college students every summer. And so I hadn't really been able to hang out with the last 3.5 years young adults in growth groups like Krista does every Sunday. So it's been cool to have her perspective and then her availability to connect with her growth group into, you know, kind of assessing where we are. It's been really encouraging to have her on board for sure.
Yeah. Krista, what do you hope, or what would you hope this the gathering with the young adults would? Do you have any specific vision for the future, or are you seeing just the importance of bringing people together and letting it emerge out of that, whatever it may be?
Yeah, I think, you know, I am definitely, my personality, I like to fix and solve and do things, and I think the Lord is really trying to teach me specifically in this season just to let him lead and to not think that I have all the answers first, and just to kind of see what he's up to, because I feel like, you know, he's been working in a lot of hearts for a long time. And so, you know, I think it's a both and in terms of vision. I want to see kind of, you know, what everyone's passions are and what everyone's excitement is. But then I am excited to, you know, as the church as a whole goes through different growth and changes. You know, we've talked about church planting and different expansion things that we're doing just within our body. I think that young adults have to be a part of that, and so I'm excited to see as they like emerge into this community of people, how they step up to the plate in those areas and how we're able to better serve the Lord and you know, use the gifts that he's given us all. So yeah, you know, in terms of vision, I hope it continues to grow, and I hope that we do see a lot of leaders come out of it. And it's also just kind of cool to sit back and watch and see what ideas God gives us next.
Yeah, Pastor Marv, I'm sitting here thinking that when you first started, we had a group called YAM, and you were that was really your focus before you went out to Pitt. Then you went out to Pitt, and now in some ways you come full circle back to young adults. Does it feel right, and what are your hopes and expectations for the future?
Yeah, I mean, I think that at the end of that time, at the beginning, Yem was kind of what Krista was saying. It's kind of petering out at that point, and I kind of came in at the very end, the tail end of its life, and tried to revive something in that, because I've been passionate about young adults in our church connecting with God and connecting with one another and becoming the leaders that they need to become, because they are the future of the church. But when I jumped in, I think there was a lot of pain that had went into the past of young adult ministry. And, you know, my goal was to kind of disciple folks a little bit. But, you know, as Chris and I both mentioned, they were satisfied with the teaching in the church. And, you know, they would come out. We had approximately 50 folks for the first, I'd say, 3 or 4 months that we are leading it, but that dwindled, I think, because of this idea that, you know, we don't need another place of teaching, we just need a place of community. And so that was something that no one had really vocalized, and when it had gone down to about 20 folks or so, because I was investing more time in Oakland and less time over here, you know, we just made that decision to say, okay, let's let it rest for a little bit, and then have the angst build in our young adults for them to be passionate about, you know, getting connected and developing something that's for them. And that's, you know, that's really where the idea of the Millennial Night came. When I was talking with Rock, is just to say, okay, we need to assess what they want, not just assume what they want. I think, you know, in retrospect, I'll admit that I assumed what they wanted rather than really seeking to know what they wanted. And so that's why we developed that Millennial Night, and then out of that came Pizza with the Pastors, and the task force came directly out of the Millennial Night, and that's where we began to develop the plan, and we unveiled it at the Pizza with the Pastors, as Krista had said. So, yeah, I mean, my hope is to see a couple things happen, continued, connection with young adults together, where they develop that community and that fellowship and that camaraderie. But also, as Krista said, she met people that she didn't know before, and she and I have been going to ACAC for 7 and 8 years. So it was kind of a shock, I think, to us to see that there were people that we didn't even know attended ACAC that were young adults that came to this. So just continuing that connection, but also raising up young adult leaders. As Krista kind of alluded to, for me, you know, I know that we are the future of the church, not just ACAC, but the church in general. And there's a lot of pain that has happened to our generation when it comes to church, where many of them have rejected church. And that's not the response that we should have as young adults, but rather this sense of, okay, I feel God is calling to the church to change some things, rather than run away and you know, whine about it. God can use us to develop change in the overall universal church. So I think that those are a couple things that I'm passionate about. Finally, you know, the word on mentorship that they brought at the Millennial Night, I think we really are developing a system to mentor young adults, to get the older generation mentoring the younger generation. And I think that mentoring, that passing of the torch, that teaching is going to be significant, much more significant than Krista and I could do in teaching our generation. But allowing the previous generation to speak into us, I think, is one of the most important things that we can do for the church, because that's not happening. And so really trying to develop that and encourage that, I think that will be a powerful testimony to the world on how the generations can work together and they can learn from one another.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and if I can real quick, John, I just think that's
sure.
Like that's also an awesome part of expanded influence. As Pastor Rock has even said from the pulpit and encouraged people to engage in this process of allowing the Holy Spirit to really deepen where we are individually with Him, and then being willing to share that mentoring is such an obvious overflow of that, and just the desire from people to be able to share what they have, but then also from other generations to learn what others have, the knowledge that others have that we know that we don't right now. So I just think that's a really cool expression of that expanded influence piece.
Well, guys, the time went quickly because you had a lot of great things to say. I want to thank you for your service to the Lord, to His people, and it's because of you, you know, the next generation, that I think there is just such an added incentive for expanded influence to establish ACAC and churches like it for your children and for the future. And so thank you for what you do. Thanks for your time today to be on the show. And I will be seeing you around campus as we continue to talk and work towards expanded influence.
Sounds great.
All right. Thank you very much, John.
Guys, thank you. Love you. Take care.
All right, you too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well,
bye.
There you have it from the next generation, some discussion about expanded influence and some of the practical steps that they are taking. It's really quite impressive, and those are really just delightful young people at the church. This is John Stanko signing off for this week's Ministry Beat, talking about expanded influence. We'll be back again next week, but we'll be giving you access to these on our new website. So until we're together again, you be thinking and praying about your role in expanded influence. So long for now.
Thanks again for listening to this edition of Ministry Beat with your host, John Stanko. Join us again soon on the ACAC Internet Radio for more insight into and information about the Expanded Influence Initiative at Allegheny Center Alliance Church. You can also access this show by going online to www.acacreach.com. If you have any questions concerning expanded influence or with ideas for future shows, you can write John at john.stanko@acac.net, john.stanko. Thank you, and tell your friends about Ministry Beat.